said.
Whoever acquires the political qualifications.
Whoever acquires the political qualifications.
Whose only wealth is good behavior.
Whose only wealth is good behavior.
Who is grateful.
Who is grateful.
Who takes shelter of experienced persons.
Who takes shelter of experienced persons.
Is all the opulence of the world.
Is all the opulence of the world.
I therefore wish that the supreme personality of Godhead and his associates,
that the supreme personality of Godhead and his associates,
be pleased with the Brahmana class.
Be pleased with the Brahmana class.
With the cows.
With the cows.
And with me.
And with me.
Srila Prabhupada's first word. The supreme personality of Godhead is worshipped with prayer. Namo Brahmanya Devaya. Brahmana Hitaya Cha. Thus it is clear that the Supreme Personality of Godhead respects and protects the Brahmana and Brahminical culture as well as the cows. In other words, wherever there are Brahmanas and Brahminical culture, there are cows and cow protection. In a society or civilization where there are no Brahmanas or Brahminical culture, cows are treated as ordinary animals, slaughtered at the sacrifice of human civilization. A specific mention of the word Gavan by Pritu Maharaj is significant because the Lord is always associated with cows and his devotees. In pictures, Lord Krishna is always seen with cows and his associates, such as the cowherd boys and the gopis. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, cannot be alone. Therefore, Pritu Maharaj says, Sarucharascha, indicating that the Supreme Personality of Godhead is always associated with his followers and devotees. A devotee acquires all the good qualities of the demigods. He is Vrunayana, the reservoir of all good qualities. His only asset is good behavior, and he is grateful. Gratitude for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is one of the qualities of Brahmanas and Vaishnavas. Everyone should feel grateful for the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he is maintaining all living entities and supplying all their necessities. As stated in the Vedas, Katha Upanishad 2.2.3, Ego Bhagunam Nirvidhatika. The Supreme One is supplying all necessities to the living entities. The living entities, who is therefore grateful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is certainly qualified with good characteristics. The word Vridashram is very significant in this verse. Vridha refers to one who is advanced in knowledge. There are two kinds of old men. He who is advanced in years, the word vridha in Sanskrit means literally old. There are two kinds of old men. He who is advanced in years, and he who is experienced in knowledge. One who is advanced in knowledge is actually vridha, jnana. One does not become vridha simply by advancing in age. Vridashraya is a person who takes shelter of a superior person. Vridashraya, a person who takes shelter of a superior person who is advanced in knowledge, can acquire all the good qualities of a Brahmana and be trained in good behavior. When one actually attains good qualities, becomes grateful for the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and takes shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, he is endowed with all opulence. Such a person is a Brahmana or a Vaishnava. Therefore, Prithu Maharaj invokes the blessings and mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with his associates, devotees, Vaishnavas, Brahmanas, and cows. Whoever acquires the Brahminical qualifications, whose only wealth is good behavior, who is grateful and who takes shelter of experienced persons, is all the opulence of the world. I therefore wish that the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his associates be pleased with the Brahmana class, with the cows, and with me. So in his statement to Maharaj, is signaling out the importance of the Brahminical class or Brahminical qualities. So he's saying that one who acquires these qualities, he says, is all the opulence of the world. Some of them are endowed with all wonderful things. So these are Brahminical qualifications, and also automatically Vaishnava qualifications. Of course, Brahmana, this is one of the four ashrams in Varnashram Dharma. We have two dharmas, actually, that are being taught throughout Srila Prabhupada's books. One is called Varnashrama Dharma, and the other is called Sanatana Dharma, or Bhagavat Dharma. Now the word Dharma, which is, has so many translations, often translated as religion, duty, and so on. But the actual meaning of the word Dharma, Prabhupada said, you can't translate like religion, meaning a particular kind of faith. Because a particular kind of faith you may change, but Dharma is constitutional. It comes from the verbal root, drip, D-H-R, the dharma, drip, meaning that which upholds or sustains. And the root sense of the word dharma is that by which a thing is what it is. Its essential quality. Its essence. And the dharma of sugar is sweet. You take it out, you take the sweetness out of sugar and it's not sugar. The dharma of salt is saltiness, the dharma of fire is heat, and so on. Now this notion that things have essences, if you're born and raised in modern civilization, you don't believe this. The philosophy of essences, if you look at the history of philosophy, you'll find that essences went out a long time ago. And the current doctrine is there are no essences. In fact, it's called existentialism. And in what they call existential philosophy, that is, the idea is man is what he makes of himself. And the way they put it is that existence precedes essence. You are what you make of yourself. Now, of course, this philosophy was preached long ago. If you look at the plays of Shakespeare, in Shakespeare's plays, there's a number of villains. And one reason people have trouble understanding Shakespeare today is all the villains speak modern philosophy. And everything that's commonly understood or assumed So, in the play Othello, there's a villain named Iago, and nasty of characters around. And there's another fellow named Rodriguez. So Iago is giving Rodriguez some advice, and Rodriguez said, "It's not my virtue." Now the word virtue in this context is used in an old-fashioned way. It means it's not my nature, it's not my dharma, he would say. So he said, "It's not my virtue." And Iago replies, "Virtue? Think. It is in our wills that we are what we are." He goes on to elaborate on that. In other words, we can make ourselves into being anything that we want. So this is the modern civilization, the modern culture. It's really, there are no essences. There are no dharmas. You can be whatever you want to be. And philosophers have gone to great length, because if I say, well, the essence of sugar is sweet, and you say, well, you know, who can dispute that? But actually, philosophers, modern philosophers, have gone to great lengths to give analyses that, no, there is no essence of sugar. It's just that here's something that has a number of properties, and one property is important to us, and we say that's the essence. But it doesn't have that essence. If we were using sugar for something else and sweetening things, like putting into people's gas tanks, or whatever, something else you could do with sugar, they would say then that sweetness would no longer be all contextual, but all self-determined, self-determined purposes. That's the argument. There are no essences. So, and of course, you see that then, and that's carried on in a very technical way, because really, when you get down to it, you have to become really adroit at getting rid of essences in some situations or in some circumstances. But anyway, when you come down to the way it affects the popular person, it's the same thing. For example, we might think that there is some essence of motherhood, or childhood, or parenthood. What does it mean to be a son? What does it mean to be a daughter? What does it mean to be a father? What does it mean to be a mother? What does it mean to be a teacher? What does it mean to be a student? What does it mean to be a man? What does it mean to be a woman? What does it mean to be a leader? But in modern civilization, all these things are up for grabs. You can do anything you want. So that's why Krishna consciousness, if you look at what we're talking about, when we talk about Varnashrama Dharma, we're talking about essences. We are talking about a mode of civilized living that is very, very ancient and has long been out of fashion. Revolutionary as far as the modern modernity is concerned, the modern world is concerned, because how do we know what is an essence? I mean, here's the argument, it's just what you make of it. It's in our will that we are what we are. And that's certainly the modern philosophy, right? I can make myself into anything if I just work hard enough, if I can be this or that, the other thing, every man can be president, and so on, and even to you. Well, the essences, here we have the essences. We're talking about names. Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, Brahmachari. These are names of social relationships. Brahmachari, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, Sannyas. So where are these essences? Here's an essence. What is an essence? It's eternal. It actually, the essence are eternal, because where do these names come from? They're in the Vedas. And the Vedas are uncreated. They are always existing. And these names, Brahmachari, they're not concoctions.
Grihastha, Brahmana, Kshatriya. They are not concoctions. That is to say, Chaturvani Mayas Krishnami says, I have created these. And so these names are eternal prototypes. Or if you're familiar with philosophy, eternal platonic forms. That's right. See, Plato and these people were not all... When you go back far enough before Kali Yuga really wipes everybody's brains out, you'll still find in every culture there were there were some old men who had the right idea. So here this is these are the eternal essences. They're given to us where? This Veda. Of course we've been cut off in the West from tradition, from actual human tradition, from actual human civilization, until one Rita, Srila Prabhupada, came. And now we all should become Vridashrayam. We should take shelter of that Jnana Vrita, who's bringing us, he is giving us Veda. So what we have in common in this room, and that we all accept Veda. We accept these are our eternal essences that exist. And that Varnashrama Dharma and so on, these are heaven ordained, not to be concocted, not a concoction. So, accepting this, then what is our job as disciples of Srila Prabhupada? And that is to actually bring things in the world into conformity with things as they ought to be. These names, these prototypes, they have to be exemplified in actual social relationships. That's our job. When Prabhupada told us he wanted the Varnashrama Dharma established, he said, 50% of my work is done. Now I want to establish Varnashrama Dharma. And he left the world. Well, obviously, it means that is now our job to carry on. His work now has to be done through us. So, this qualification, Vridashraya, that has to be there in us if we want to be students of Srila Prabhupada and carry on his work. We have to take shelter of him and find out very simple thing. We find out, we have so many books, and in almost every single page this Varnashrama Dharma has been discussed by Srila Prabhupada. There's not much about Madhurya Leela, the higher rasas and those things, because Prabhupada's business is to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. In fact, he talked about his books as law books, I believe. Did he use that word, law books? He called them law books. It used to puzzle me. Why is Srimad Bhagavatam a law book? Because law book, what's the Sanskrit word for law book? Dharma Shastra. It's a Dharma Shastra. So my conclusion is that Prabhupada gave us in his purports, he was emphasizing what is needed. That these will be Dharma Shastra for the next 10,000 years. Doesn't mean that other people won't write other books, that other Krishna's infinite and infinite books can be written. But these will be Dharma Shastra. These are the law books. And if you'll find out that throughout this, all of Srila Prabhupada's reports, this Varnashrama Dharma and Bhagavad Dharma are being taught. together. So if we have decided to follow Srila Prabhupada, that means we accept what these the essences are. But this is the system, this Varnashrama Dharma system, and that each one of us has to find his or her place in that system. And to understand which of these names, Brahmachari, Vihasta, Manaprastha, Sunyas, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, which of these names applies to me. And then I must make myself conformable to what is implied by those names. That's the system. Now, as I said, this is all about quoted little Plato and Shakespeare just to show you there were Britta earlier who had some intuitions about this. I want to read Confucius. You know who Confucius is? The guy that wrote a lot of fortune cookie scripts, right? Listen to what Confucius says, a great Chinese sage. This is from a book, it's a history of Chinese philosophy, and it's describing what Confucius's doctrine of what he called the rectification of names. In regard to society, Confucius held that in order to have a well-ordered one, the most important thing is to carry out what he called the rectification of names. That is, things, in actual fact, should be made to accord with the implication attached to them by names. Once a disciple asked him what he would do first if he were to rule a state, whereupon Confucius replied, "The one thing needed first is the rectification of names." On another occasion, one of the dukes of the time asked Confucius the right principle of government, to which he answered, "Let the ruler be ruler, the minister minister, the father father, and the son son." In other words, every name contains certain implications which constitute the essence of that class of things to which this name applies. Such things, therefore, should agree with their ideal, with this ideal essence. The essence of a ruler is what the ruler ideally ought to be, or what in Chinese is called the way of the ruler. The Chinese word is Dao. We would simply translate that as Dharma. If a ruler acts according to this way of the ruler, he is then truly a ruler in fact as well as in name. There is agreement between name and actuality. But if he does not, he is no ruler, even though he may popularly be regarded as such. Every name in the social relationships implies certain responsibilities and duties. Ruler, minister, father, and son are all the names of such social relationships, and the individual bearing these names must fulfill their responsibilities and duties accordingly. Such is the implication of Confucius' theory of the rectification of names. Now, you couldn't ask for anything clearer. I have questions later. Comments.
No, it's a comment.
He said the first thing he would do if he were to rule a state is the rectification of names. And then Prabhupada stated always that the business of the Kshatriya is to make sure that everyone is following their varna and ashram. So here's this is our system. When he says if a ruler is not a following, then he's not a ruler. You may recall with Prabhupada, when somebody said, "Prabhupada, what about a guru who's not following?" Prabhupada said, "Then he's not a guru." So this is the same philosophy. So there it is. This has been standard human civilization up to a certain point. So anywhere people remember them, we're in better shape than Confucius, because the Vedas were only available to them in kind of a blurred form. They didn't, when so advanced, they didn't know about child protection, for example, things like that. So here we accept this. So here's this pool of instructions. So if we're saying here is talking about brahminical qualifications, so one who wishes to take up that service as brahminical, so here's some instructions. His wealth, his good behavior, his assets. But later on it says in here, by the way, there's a purport where it talks about, the verse later on. Here, let me read this. There's some more information about Vairashrama Dharma. The Kshatriyas, Vaishyas, and Shudras eat their food by virtue of the Brahmanas' mercy. It is the Brahmanas who enjoy their own property, clothe themselves with their own property, and give charity to their own property. So Prabhupada says here in the purports that everything, in actuality, everything in the world belongs to the Brahmanas. And out of their humility, the Brahmanas accept charity for the Kshatriyas and the kings and the Vaishnava and the merchants. Everything belongs to the Brahmanas, but the Kshatriya government and the mercantile people keep things in custody like bankers. And ever when the Brahmanas need money, the Kshatriyas and Vaishyas should supply it. It's like a savings account with money in which the depositor can draw out at his will. So you may think, the Brahmanas being engaged in the service of the Lord have very little time to handle the finances of the world, and therefore the riches are kept by the Kshatriyas or kings who are to produce money upon the Brahmanas' demands. Actually, the Brahmanas or Vaishnavas do not live at others' cost, they live by spending their own money, although it appears they are collecting money from others. But you might think, I'll be a Brahmana. But then you hear in this verse it says their only wealth is their good behavior. That they may actually, what it is they're not exactly owners either, the way say a Kshatriya or a Vaishya would think of themselves as an owner. So you have to study the whole dharma of a Brahmana. A Brahmana is a trustee, or a Vaishnava. They're trustees of the property of God. And just as trustees of an account, they don't pillage the account for their own sense gratification. The trustees mean they're trustworthy people. So the Brahmanas are those that Krishna trusts. That I'll give you this, so you hold my property in trust for me. So as it turns out, the actual wealth of the Brahmanas is their good behavior. Not that they have lots of money. They're not greedy people. They don't need anything. Someone has to study. Because here it is. Go to Brahmana here. Shalandava. Tapa. Austere. Austere. So these are the characteristics that this is that dharma. Shalandava. Tapa. Socha. Shalandava. Jnana. Austere. So that should be studied very carefully for those who wish to take up what seems to be their virtue and nature to take this service up. Then that has to be taken up as it is given in the books. Not that I can select some. I can be part Brahmana, part Kshatriya. It suits me on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, it's different. Chameleon changing according to whim. No, that's not there. So these are the characteristics of Brahmana, and he talks about this. Grateful, Prabhupada describes grateful to whom? What is gratefulness? That's been described in the book, really. Grateful to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Always grateful, because of Brahmana always remembers. That's his nature, that he always remembers the Lord. Eko bhavunam yogadati kama. He understands who is supplying all the necessities. He understands who is supplying all the necessities, and so therefore he acts as a trustee for the property of the Lord, and all he may is grateful. So a Brahmana is one who is never disturbed. He understands that the necessity he has faith. This is another characteristic. He's convinced about the truth of the Veda. That's what astitya means. It comes from the word asti, which means it is. It means he affirms the Vedas. Astitya. So he believes that when it says eko bhuna yoga didati kama, he thinks that the Lord is always supplying my necessities. And if he doesn't see how his income is coming for tomorrow, he's not disturbed. Because he has this confidence. He's prepared to be austere. So this is also stated elsewhere in Srimad Bhagavatam that the Brahmana is willing to go to where they're threshing the grains and pick up the leftover rice that, you know, when they winnow the grains, there's a lot that falls on the wayside. He's going to pick it up. Because he's austere. So that's all supply. It doesn't mean that the Lord is going to supply. It doesn't mean that every day a silver plate is going to show up. But if I have to go out with my wife and the kids and pick up the grains that have been blown inside the frame, okay. This is well, because he's tolerant also. He's tolerant. So anyway, these qualities are there. So that has to be studied. This is Prabhupada's work, that we have to form within ISKCON of our Ashram Dharma Society. And that means, and it's not that my strong conviction is that we have to form of our Ashram Dharma Society very quickly. From what I have seen, is happening in the International Society for Krishna Consciousness, is that while we may have our 6-year plan, Krishna has a 6-month plan, and that's going to be forced on us economically, nothing else. So we may think, oh no, not soon, not now, but actually now, immediately. This is a material world is going on. Many things are happening in the material world. All things are happening under the control of Krishna. Krishna is working for the eventual establishment of a golden age of Lord Chaitanya. And my conviction is that at a certain time, Krishna wants this movement to be in a certain shape. That he has his timetable. And the strong signal is that we have to do this now. This is necessary. The word is there from Srila Prabhupada. So this requires each of us to take up this task that we all accept Prabhupada's books. We all believe in them. So let's study. Let's find out what it means. We've had this one meeting already in the Brahmacharya Ashram. Okay, what is a Brahmacharya? What is it, sir? What is the Dharma of Brahmacharya? Let's discuss what this is. Now that we understand that, now let's carry out the rectification of things and make ourselves conformable to that Dharma. If I'm not a person who can be conformable to Brahmacharya Dharma, alright, there's Grihastha. Sometimes we create other dharmas that aren't there. Bachelor dharma. There's no such thing, but this has been made. We have to make ourselves conformable. Similarly, we should have meetings of grihasthas. What is grihastha? What is Prabhupada said? There's a wealth of information in his books. And of course, especially when you get to grihastha, actually, as it turns out, you can't have ashramas without having varnas. Because a grihastha will be quite different what a grihastha is, according to whether that's his means of livelihood and his duties, will be different according to whether that's brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra. So then we have to understand what is brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra, and all these things have to work together in an interlocking social relationship. But I mean, here we have the law books for the next 10,000 years to tell us what to do. So, believe me, all answers are here. Of course, we should first of all work very hard to form a Brahmana community, because the Brahmanas should be the people who are Jnana Vijnana. That's mentioned, isn't it? As they're called. Jnana means they know the books. Let's say Jnana means you know Srila Prabhupada's books. Vijnana means you know how to apply them. Practical application. Jnana Vijnana. This is the characteristic of Brahmana. Jnana Vijnana. So they meet together. And Brahmanas are not... They're not... They're cooperators. They cooperate with each other. There are all these qualities here of being grateful, tolerant, peaceful, self-control, austere. They get along. Alright. And they're all vridashraya. They follow the elders. The vridha, old man, of course, you see. Here there's practically these two meanings, to be learned, to be old, they're practically one and the same in Vedic culture. Now, in our culture, they're quite laid a long time ago. And then actually, Vridha is an honorific term. You call someone old now is an insult. But actually it's not a good term. Meaning an elder, an ancient, a sage, wise. Again, so much experience is there. So this is Vigyan Ashram. This is their quality. So, I have one last thing to show you as far as this Varnashram Dharma and the Sanatana Dharma. This is a chart which I've adopted from one originally prepared by Srila Prabhupada, and there'll be this is a Mother Gabrielle has kindly doing the graphics on a Macintosh computer, and I'm sorry it's not any bigger. But anyway, we posted. Here is Varnashram Dharma, Shudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmana. This is Sanatana Dharma. This is ascending Vaishnava qualities. How much you are surrendered to Krishna, Sarvadak, Sarvadhanam, Vrityaja, Mamrikam, Sharanamaja. So people belong. You have to map people into this grid. You see. Like here, Brahmana, who's also a first class devotee, would be a Dvaitacharya. Then you go down to low levels. 1, 2, and 3, they don't correspond to anything in particular, they're just levels. You go down to the second level, you have Bulbacharya. He was a Vaishnava even, but he had some problems before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He also didn't want to be a follower. Sorry, he was on the diet. And then down here you have Shukracharya, also a really good Brahmana, but the spiritual masters of demons. And here I've also listed that Suchi, who met Narada Muni. In the story, you know the story of the Suchi and the Muchi, the Brahmin and the Kali. So then we get the Kshatriyas, you got Kripaparuja and Ambarish. They're first class Vaishnava Kshatriyas. Then the second one I put is Dharasva. Because he turned out all right in the end. And he wasn't such a bad guy, but he was attached to his sons who were bad. So he was misled. And then down here, Jarasandha. You remember Jarasandha, he was a perfect native gentleman. And Kshatriya gave liberally and charity to the Brahmins. The only problem, he couldn't stand Krishna. But as far as Varnashram goes, he was perfect. Then the Vaishnavas, I have Nandamohan. Spiritual levels, but still differentiated. And then down here, accordingly. So, if ISKCON are leading a complete Varnashram Dharma society, there will actually be places like this, except for maybe this bottom one won't be that much exemplified. But there'll be various levels. Now, I have the caption here, where do you belong? On this chart. And notice there's a curved line going up to here. This line, the people above this line, they're the sort of people that can serve on, say, a temple board or a zonal board, or the GBC for that matter. Because you can have any quality of Vaishnava will do. But then you get up here, say you can have Brahmanas, because they're Brahmanas, they can also be useful, even though they're not such good Vaishnavas. For example, and thinking about how to turn Kiran out community, one thing that I would really like to have is a good economist or a cultural anthropologist, somebody who has a lot of knowledge of economics and anthropology, how villages work, to come and act as an advisor once in a while. Well, that person won't be a devotee. He may think Varnashram Dharma is for the birds, really. But he's the kind of person that can think, well, what an interesting problem. Yeah, we'll accept Varnashram Dharma framework and let's see what we can do with it. Then it might be useful. See, because that person is a Brahmana, you can have such people. Although you wouldn't have any preponderance of them. So that's what this line represents. So this shows how these two systems, these two Prabhupada talks in the Bhagavad Gita, two svadharmas, your material in terms of your psychophysical condition and the modes of nature, and your eternal in terms of your transcendental service to Krishna. So this is how they kind of fit together. And these two dharmas that Prabhupada preaches, Sanatana Dharma, Varnashrama Dharma. Anyway, when Gabrielle's performing, getting a perfected version of this together, and then it'll be posted this morning. You can look at that. So, questions or comments? You were first.
First of all, I want to put an experiment. I want to tell you for short essence last week and today. I'm very happy to be a member of the Sanatana Dharma system. At I think that soul science are trying to transform, so many sense concepts, it's very difficult. But perhaps some of them are practically the base when you mention Shakespeare, you are confused about what means the real sense of the world, you know? And that's why I observe it's one of the biggest tasks that we have in Eastern now, is to transfer the Vedic to the real day-by-day life, especially, let me be very sincerely, there's a great difference between what the American, North American society is, and the rest of the world.
Yeah.
And first of all, because the American society is very well compromised with the positivism that, by the way, was William James, and was a psychologist also, who gave a great influence to the rest of the world. And the people of the third world were so proud of those very materialistic influence of the positivism, they don't believe anything except the function and destroy many of the sense of the world.
Yeah.
Okay, that's what I consider in my home position, one of the biggest tasks, try to transfer cultural, very well sense, cultural, to a non-essential culture that North American society is. We are in the core and the center of the water force where more power and culture is in the North American society, the North East Coast. Okay? We are the leader of this thing. What I have been thinking about what it means really body and wisdom has been very deeply confused, because when we consider Brahman or a very high gurus, we have seen they are making business. That is a very vital position. Okay, the experience of the history of wisdom, Theros, officials, what means when a real Brahman is making business. And the consequences were very clear. We understood for all along in less than 7 years, we now want me, don't follow Dharma, don't follow God. But my question is, is how to make the transfer. It means that many of us need to make a very deep, a very sincerely, a reaction about this reform that is not guru reform, means any the most important word to reform themselves to really accept them what they are. Because especially in the North American society, the tendency is for being a Vaishya. This is a Vaishya society. And it's clearly that the Vaishya concept of being looking for power maybe contaminate Eastern in the North American society. And by the way, the rest of the world for Eastern world, and the reaction you know that now Europe, they don't want more American rules. That's why I don't know if I have any resource to help improve interest to make this one. But I think it's a real, deeply revolutionary right to change the Vaishan mentality that was being contaminated Eastern in the last 7 or 8 years to a real not attached to the power of destruction that means one
character. Well, let me just say one thing about that. How we change is what I've seen Satsrup Maharaj do. Let's just talk about these gurus who are like Vaishyas. Let's also remember they were sannyasis. And just understand that how ISKCON has been structured for a long time is that if you wanted to make it in the organization, if you wanted power and prestige, if you wanted to move up the corporate ladder, at a certain point, you pretty much had to take some else. And then you were made men, as they say in mafia. You were made men, and you were solid in the organization. But I just read in the sixth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where it says that to commit that to take sannyas is to commit civil suicide. It's to commit suicide. Yeah, your will is red. You're a dead man. Your wife becomes a widow. You're dead. It's civil suicide. the difference. So I obviously things have to change. And what I've seen that such Rumaraj is doing, such things as saying, he's saying now, what don't I need? Because we walked in and began arguing, we were talking about problems of moving the school. They said, well, you could have a scabbard, I don't need it. He said, what? You know, the cabin? I said, well, I just sort of grew up, you know, when I was sick maybe, but I'm not sick now. Well, how do you work? Well, how do I do my work anywhere, he said. So I don't need it. Then, you know, silk, goatees, and all that, and all this sort of stuff. You know, disinvestiture. Is that what they call it in business?
Divestiture.
Yeah, divestiture. Because that's what is, those who are sannyas, they have to look, what is sannyas done? Then you won't have this thing where you got, you know, 75 or 80% of the sannyasi groupies, because they all took it for the wrong reason. Because then you'll see, what is sannyas? Then these decisions, should I be a brahmacharya or should I get married, those will become easier decisions to make. Because it'll be really clear, what. So, anybody?
As we were talking, you see, the biggest problem I have with the whole idea of Anashtadharma is implementation from what we are now. Mm-hmm. And I think there's a general feeling in human about that. How to go from what we are now as smoothly into a more stable thing, and everyone's mind is still peaceful and enthusiastic about the process. Because obviously, with the rectification of me, which incidentally is the term I really look for, obviously the rectification of names, you know, they could really juggle a few people's
ideas.
So the question is, like, you implied in class, and also this group in his speaking said, you know, we have to believe, do you think that would be the most appropriate way that a person kind of assigns himself, having first a definition of the name, assigns himself to that name?
I think it's better to do it in groups. I mean, you have your own individual assessment, but then you got to do a little reality testing, with others and come to some conclusion. Because these are names of social relationships, so all this is in a social relationship. And see, and also, what it will mean that some people will have to undergo austerities, economic difficulties, things like that. And so it's going to be hard. And of course, what's going to be tested a little bit is just this. It's going to be our confidence in Srila Prabhupada. But you'll also see what an enormous amount of spiritual energy and how many problems that have been there are suddenly going to be solved, and how much spiritual energy is going to be released, because when you're finally conformable to what Krishna wants, then so many things happen. So it will be encouraging also. But I would see it as a social, very much of a social process, and a group process, rather than an individual process.
In Nuna Dhamma, I discussed that with Krishnananda Swami about 2 years ago, and I thought that his idea, although I don't know how this follow through is, but I thought that there was some merit to his idea. His idea was to first define Dhamma, and let everyone have a shot at that. And by process of elimination, they go down the definition of Kshatriya.
Well, that's what they do with the group.
And work their way down. And that way, it's not only a matter of opinion, but it's kind of self-evident that you didn't try to demonstrate it on one level, now you just sort of think.
That's what I mean by saying you have to determine what that is, what each mind is, then you have to buy it, the whole heart. And what they do with the Gurukula, what they do with the Gurukula, is, as I understand in Vrindavan, is they create for the boys, they create, okay, here's the Brahmana ashram. One of the things is everybody has to be punctual like mad. And to put everybody in there, and then those that can't stand it,
I think it's a merit in that process.
Yeah.
Because our minds are going to really far. You know,
once it's established that way, where you are, you'll be happy. You won't be able to stand it anywhere else. Yes,
so there's two things. One is, I just want to make a question, one comment. You're explaining that the Brahmin is accepting the astikyam. that he's accepting things, he's accepting the Vedas on faith. So when we spoke class just a few days ago, that point was really underscored, where it says that the Brahmin's transcendental position is eternally maintained because the injunctions of the Vedas are accepted with faith. So that's actually one of the great strengths of the Brahmins. My question is a philosophical one about the eternal essence.
By the way, they can give faith to others by having faith themselves.
The eternal essence of the Varnashram, Varnashram divisions. Now we know that one's Sanatana Dharma, as a servant of Krishna, that's there. And Prabhupada often uses the word Dharma, or in use of the word Dharma, he explains it in terms of one's position as a servant of Krishna, or the position as a servant, and that can't be changed. So my question involves the second Svadharma, or that which is Varnashram Dharma. We see that it is possible to change the Dharma, as, say, in the case of Vishwamitra Muni, he certainly did it. And that since your Dharma is a product of Guna and karma is not eternal, Prabhupada makes that point clearly in Bhagavad Gita. And we see how, for example, in the most extreme example, maybe in the woman Ambika, who was so much determined that she was able to take birth as a man to accomplish a particular task. So if one's dharma can be changed, even within this lifetime, then is it in fact an eternal essence?
Yeah, sure. What's the eternal essence is the dharma. The essence is eternal. The classes of things that go into that dharma, they're not eternal. They don't eternally belong to one class. You got confused between the Pratani form and the things that exemplify the form. That is, the essence of Kshatriya is always there. Just what is a Kshatriya? That's eternal, because the Vedas are eternal. Who is a Kshatriya? That can vary. And of course, generally, your psychophysical nature is there, and you're pretty much stuck with it. Now, once in a while, you know, you can get sex changes going on, even in the Vedas, and who was the king that was a woman for 6 months and a man for 6 months? You know, these things happen. there are exceptions, aren't there?
One practical manifestation of my question is that we are very much Varnas and Kara, and therefore there are elements of different Varnas existing within us.
Yeah, sure.
So to some extent, at least, in our decision, in consultation with others, we have a unique position in terms of Varnashram, that we have some sort of choice as to what to pursue. So that's where I was, you know, I was trying to...
That's a good point. That's a good point. It may be that you could do one or the other. But then, for the sake of specialization, I don't see how anyone can really work at developing. Let me get the verse. Work at developing both, say, Brahmana and Kshatriya qualities at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? Yeah. I mean, how are you going to do it? First quality of a Brahman is peacefulness. First quality of a Kshatriya is just what? That's one of them. But the very first one that's listed, what is it? It's called. What is the verses? What chapter?
18.
18. Okay, here we go. Peacefulness. First guy, she's showing heroism. I mean, they sort of just don't. Peaceful self-control, austerity, purity, tolerance. Heroism, power, determination, sorrowfulness, courage, and battle. You're not going to be able to develop both of those things simultaneously.
Actually, a Brahman has all the qualities that he manifests.
Well, it's going to be one of the, you know, just, yeah. just, just
But it's clearly shown in the case of Vishnu-Misha, because when he finally became a Brahmana, and then there's a question dealing with Marici and the other demon, as that's what I told everyone, or not as a... As Vashishtha told everyone, Vishwamitra can actually kill these demons, but because he's a Brahmin, he won't do it. And therefore, the Kshatriya has to come and actually take that up.
Unless he's pushed to the edge.
No, and it's certainly a very advanced person, a very advanced devotee. Could do all, do things, different things at different times. But let's be practical.
I think that maybe the main reason that the Buddhist presented is if I am not sure who I am, I will need to be changing my roles many times. But I think if the emphasis is more about the role, that instead of what my real quality and characteristics of my real dharma and my real karma, because my karma is not only a casual, it's something that comes by many, many lives. But if I know who really I am, I'm very easy to get what my role will be. But if I'm confused who I am, I will be, need to be changed every day to be what's being applied to the changing identity.
Yes, sure. Somebody else have any
other
questions?
Yeah, I was thinking about, you were talking about trying to do two things at once, but it seems like you've been doing it for years of being present.
They're mostly pride and max, process.
But on the other hand, anyone who's trying to be a devotee is cultivating the qualities of Brahman.
That's right.
So he may be a Kshatriya.
That's why we got two scales on here.
It seems like there's a problem that you have a gradation up and down, but not sideways. In other words, you're talking about perfect
Kshatriyas,
perfect Kshatriyas, perfect Kshatriyas, but we're going to have not so great Kshatriyas.
That's right here.
Sudras want to do political work, and Brahmins will also like to fix a chair.
Well, you can have hobbies. And Purujan has a conception of your major and your minor. And of course, there are also subdivisions. I mean, let's not get really, that is not to get doctrinaire and rigorous. And there are going to be a few people that are going to be, you know, 6 months of man, 6 months of woman. I mean, there's going to be some oddballs that you got to give a little room to. But so long as it's serving Krishna, okay. But you know, because like for example in the Shudra group, there's Shudras that serve Brahman, there's Shudras that serve, I mean Prabhupada calls the Shudras, think of a Shudra as a general assistant. So they serve Brahmanas, they serve Kshatriyas, they serve Vaishnavas, and they serve other Shudras, and they want to be different caliber within even that quality, according to whom they serve. And Vaishnavas, whether they're cow protection, or whether they're traders, or not traders. That also depends. But of course, the cow protection is essential because this is really requires an agrarian economy to fully manifest itself.
Along the line of this point, There's a nice little anecdote of Prabhupada and Yogeshwar. Prabhupada asked him one day, "Do you know what a Brahmin is?" So he was giving these very doctrinaire answers, you know, he quoted the verse and he said, Prabhupada said, "No, that's true, but that's not what he's looking for." And he tried different points, you know, one who wants to preach Krishna consciousness. Finally Prabhupada said, "A Brahmin is one who's expert in one thing and he knows a lot of other little things. He knows something about so many other things." So let's verify the concept of major and minor specialities.
Sure. Well, one more question.
Well, what do you do in a situation where you feel the second initiated, and all of a sudden you're talking about Svanasha, and they don't
feel it? Definitely feel it. Second initiation means, well, I think we discussed this in the class over here. A Pancharatrika initiation, like all these people, second initiation means you can worship the deities. So all these people on this level say, we can do deity worship. Because it's a Vaishnava function. That's in terms of your service to Krishna. So maybe less confusing, instead of calling it Brahminical initiation, call it Pancharatrika initiation, just second initiation. But on the other hand, be a little bit, maybe a little more careful about handing it out. The people who do get it should be there. Okay, Lord, you're going to stop.